Thanks, Mary Ann. Let us pray as we prepare to hear God's word read. God of daybreak, our souls wait for your light more than those who watch for the morning. Let your Holy Spirit illumine our hearts with the light of your redemption, a new day, a new life in Christ. Amen. Today's Old Testament reading comes from the 130th Psalm, one of the best known pieces of liturgical prayer. Psalm 130 is a plea for help, specifically a cry for a divine hearing. It reflects the psalmist's awareness of the widespread nature of human sinfulness in the face of God's righteousness and justice. Let us hear God's word for us today. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. Our second reading comes from one of the New Testament letters written to the church in Ephesus. We've been reading through this letter several Sundays this summer, and today we turn to the passage beginning in chapter 4 with verse 25 and ending in chapter 5, verse 2. The apostle describes what is necessary to live a true Christian life in community. Let us listen to the reading of God's word. So then, putting away all falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This particular passage from Ephesians is well known for the very first verse it contains. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Speaking the truth in love is a well-known phrase among Christian believers, well-known because it has been used to give permission to individuals and churches to speak the truth. Unfortunately, speaking the truth mostly with judgment, but not always with love. Paul likely wrote this verse to encourage kind, loving rhetoric, but others have used this verse to give permission to speak their own truth. Actually, we could work our way through the list of advice that Paul gives to the community in Ephesus in this passage and likely come to the realization that most days practicing even one of the ways we are called to live feels impossible. Put away falsehoods, speak the truth in love, be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Do not make room for the devil. Give up stealing and labor honestly and share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths. Put away all bitterness and anger and wrath and wrangling and slander and malice. Be kind to others, tender-hearted, forgiving as Christ has forgiven you. Be imitators of Christ. Live in love. Well, by my calculations, that gives Christians at least 20 instructions on living out their belief. Now, we won't raise hands for this, but how many of us are obedient to each of these every single day? Well, I'm going to guess, like me, that you too struggle with maintaining these rules of new living on a daily basis. It's hard, and as I've said before in other sermons, to live in community with one another takes great work. Actually, most of us live in community with one another much differently than those we live with in our home. We might tolerate one another one day a week at church, but my word, it's a whole other ballgame tolerating those we are married to, are raising, or living with. I still remember what it felt like to adjust to dormitory living at college. I was the only daughter in my family, and, well, I enjoyed the pleasure of having my own room growing up. 18 years I spent decorating my room the way I wanted, listening to the music that I liked, and inviting my friends to sleep over. And then came college, where I was given half of a small room to house my possessions while learning to live in this room with another female. And let's be honest, moody young adult females, women learning what it means to gain independence, to wait in line for a warm shower or an empty washing machine, all while adapting to a full class load and on-campus work. Well, whether you attended college or maybe you joined the military, got married or paid rent on an apartment and lived with a roommate, we've all at some point in our lives have had to learn to live with someone else. And even those we love, whom we know are created by God, can irritate the living daylights out of any one of us. Maybe with one loud noise in the morning, or one sink full of dirty dishes, or just that one used towel on the bathroom floor. My point is that we can look at this sort of list and, well, already feel like we've lost before even starting to embrace these rules of living. Now, Paul may not have intended to discourage his readers, but it's easy to critique ourselves as we read through these suggestions and realize that, well, even on a good day, Paul's list doesn't get completely met. But rather than beat ourselves up for our lack of ability to maintain these expectations, maybe it would help us to consider this morning how we can work towards maintaining attitudes, actions, and decisions that bring us together positively with the community around us. Let's look at what Paul is asking the Ephesians and us this day. Essentially, Paul is calling for all of us to remember who we are in Christ and to focus on the way to life instead of turning back to the ways of death. It comes from all of us remembering what Christ has done for us and living in the promise that the Holy Spirit continues to work in us so that we may stay focused on the light of Jesus Christ. God has given us the capacity to turn around from the darkness and live a life focused on light. Of course, we have free will, but we no longer make our choices alone because we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us and an eternal promise that the Spirit will never let us go. We are God's masterpieces, created to do God's works. Paul points to this in the second chapter of his letter to the Ephesians. It is our sheer creation that enables us to have all ability to turn towards actions that reflect the true nature of God in Jesus Christ. And yet you and I both know that most days it's difficult to express a true reflection of our Savior. Well, the good news is that we are in a constant process of renewal. We are not who we were yesterday or last week, and we will not be who we are today a month from now. Our lives are an active process of learning what it means to be followers of Christ. Our good news is that the mistakes that we make today do not define us forever. This good news bears repeating all the time because our memory of whose we are grows dim for a number of reasons. Sometimes we let the voices around us tell us who we should be, and we begin to follow all the advice we hear to be a better parent, a better child, a more successful employee, a skinnier woman, or a stronger man. Slowly but surely, we begin to believe all the voices and messages around us that want us to believe that success comes from money and possessions and earthly achievement. Before we know it, we orient and manage our lives around earthly gain and recognition, completely ignoring the works that God has created us to do. Works that aren't required to gain God's love, mind you, but works that allow us to express in the most wonderful way how we have been recreated and transformed through our relationship with our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Sadly, those voices and messages distracting us from the purpose of which we were created to be most often come from people inside church buildings or leading church organizations or proclaiming an authority to speak the truth in love on behalf of God Almighty. Do you have trouble believing that is true? Is it hard for you to imagine that any church or individual would ever turn someone away from a Christian community? 6 weeks ago, a young woman told me her story of leaving a Christian church. She left the community when she was in high school because one time during youth group, she answered honestly a question asked by an adult leader. Actually, the question was asked to all the youth that were present, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" Well, this young girl answered honestly and explained that she still had questions and doubts about who Jesus was and how he could be the Son of God. The response from the adult leader to her answer was to tell her that she would go to hell if she didn't believe. This young woman still worships in a community, but she worships with pagan believers now. They gather in community to offer sacrifices of food to the Celtic god of the forest. She tells me that she feels welcomed and accepted something she did not experience during her time at a Christian church. Another story shared with me was a woman who said that she does not feel comfortable attending church, even though she believes in Jesus, because a member of the last church she visited asked her to leave because she came to worship wearing pants. Sounds absurd, but my guess is there are more stories like this, experiences people are having right this moment. Which means all the more that our individual and collective voices need to be louder and stronger, because we can wholeheartedly testify to the positive power of a worshiping community. I imagine that there are many among us today who have experienced the joy of being part of the body of Christ. I can testify to the strength that I have found when I was weak because I participated as a member of a church family. I remember the pastor who taught my confirmation class, and I remember the youth group leader who accompanied me and many other youth to retreats and Christian concerts and activities that helped me find answers to the questions I had about Jesus Christ. I can remember the faces of individuals from the Indianapolis church I was a member of out of college who encouraged me to discern ordained ministry because they saw the gifts of ministry God created me to use. Thankfully, I've had a cloud of witnesses around me whose voices were louder than the dark messages the world was trying to tell me. Thank goodness the messages of my church family pointed me towards the light of Jesus Christ, who encouraged me and helped me live out my baptismal promises, so that when the voices of this world try to tell me who I am, I can only respond, I am a child of God. At this moment in my life, it is this church community in which God has invited me to engage with so that I might learn from all of you and you from me. And it is this church community that we can safely express when we need help without someone telling us that we are weak or a problem or not worthy of forgiveness. These words, I speak for you because I know that there are those of you who sit in your favorite pew today and internally are nodding your head when you hear me talk about this community and the love, strength, and encouragement I felt here. Why? Because more times than you can count, you have felt it too. That doesn't mean that we haven't or won't get frustrated or hurt by each other, but we forgive and learn from challenging experiences. I think about many of you who are here today who have been visiting this church, and I especially want you to know today that this is a community that welcomes you to be a part of God's church. I pray that the love and encouragement and kindness that I've experienced since becoming pastor of this church will be something that you experience too, as you engage with us not just on Sunday mornings, but in other activities during the week. Paul is calling for these early Christians not merely to worship God in Christ, but through the Holy Spirit, to imitate Christ in their own behavior for the sake of Christ's church and the sake of the world. We are to forgive as we have been forgiven. We must turn from wrangling and slander and turn instead toward kindness and forgiveness for Christ's sake. We may not ever succeed at achieving all the rules of new living Paul describes in this passage, but it is imperative that we try. Maybe not for ourselves who already experience the graciousness and security of a beloved church community, but for all of those who have not experienced a beloved church community. Let us strive to imitate Christ as reflected in Paul's words, because we have family members and neighbors and friends listening to a world that tells them if they aren't a certain weight or have the right car or the right degree, they are nothing of value. Let us strive to imitate Christ so that we might have the opportunity to welcome joyously the woman who comes to church, maybe for the first time in years, wearing pants. Let us strive to imitate Christ to all those we meet, because we have grandchildren or children who are struggling to understand who Jesus Christ is. And the last thing we want is for them to be told they will go to hell if they doubt or have questions. Christianity is an ongoing encounter with the living, loving God in Jesus Christ. And now is a time to recommit ourselves to finding our Christ encounter every day. Not for our own enjoyment or fulfillment, for we already have the promises of all that God offers as baptized children. No, let us pursue encounters every day with Christ so that we may be filled and sustained through the Holy Spirit to invite others to encounter the one true God whose message in Jesus Christ tells them they are God's masterpieces. Of all the messages heard in our world, may the message of Jesus' love and light be proclaimed loudly and boldly by all of us who call him Lord and Savior. To the one who is and was and who is to come, amen. Friends, I invite you to stand as we join together in a song of praise. Father, I adore you.